Afternoon. Good afternoon and happy new year. I trust you've had a good holiday season. Was it great? Did you put on weight? I have put on weight. Last week I said I'd lost weight, and then the season showed me its power. Yeah, we thank God for another year, and his mercies, his grace, it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, I'm glad I'm alive. Yeah, some people did not make it today. It's really sad, but we have been blessed by God. We are alive, and we have the opportunity to live a new year for his glory. Hallelujah. All right, so we are going to begin this year. Like Edmund said, our year is a focus on the kingdom of God. Specifically, we're saying kingdom impact, how we can allow God's kingdom to influence our lives and the lives of those under our sphere of influence and those that God brings our way. So throughout this year, the emphasis is on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our key text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And so all the teachings that we're going to be teaching throughout the year, whatever topic we're going to take, it is with this paradigm in mind, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That being said, last week I said that I had finished on the faith series, and just through the week, I just felt in my spirit, no, I haven't finished. I have to continue teaching along those lines. So I don't know if this is the last one or if there's a lot more to come on the issue of faith. So we're going to continue to teach on faith through the lens of the kingdom of God. So we're going to continue to do that. So today I'm going to talk about faith in the context of faith must be specific. Faith must be specific. And I want to encourage you to listen to the teachings that we have been teaching from the first teach right up until now. And also listen to other teachers on faith. My favorite teacher on faith is Kenneth Hagin Sr. And I really like what he teaches. And I would encourage you to listen to him. But apart from that, there are other great teachers and so forth. One being Joseph Kofi Boadu. So you could also look him up on YouTube. He has a YouTube channel. Hallelujah. So you could look him up and you might be blessed. Hallelujah. What you discover there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So faith must be specific. Our key text, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the context of this verse, our Lord was teaching about how we should not worry. We should not worry about our future, about our legitimate needs, about what is going to happen to our lives and so forth. And that God, who is in control of everything, is very interested in our lives. He's very interested in our needs. He's very interested to make sure that our lives are in order and that our legitimate needs are being met. And in that context, he said, what your priority ought to be is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things, the legitimate needs, the desires that you have in your life, the concerns about the future, all these legitimate things will be added to you when you have your priorities right, which is to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. So in that context, we're talking about the importance of faith and how we use our faith to ensure that the things that God has for us are being realized. Now let's just do a little bit of just some basics about faith. Faith is believing, really. Faith is believing, or believing capacity, or the ability to believe. In the Greek, it's really persuasion, being persuaded about something. And there are different types of faith. And it's the context of which you are believing that determines the kind of faith. And I want to encourage you to read the book, my book, Principles of Faith, because it's a very basic teaching on faith that gives you a proper context within the Bible. And there are different types of faith. There's natural faith, which is our believing capacity that we gain through our natural senses. So through our natural senses, as we grow up and we experience things through our natural senses, we become convinced and persuaded about certain things. So that's natural faith. And then there's what I call religious faith, which is the belief that certain things are holy or sacred because of what we've been told by others, but not necessarily because it is scripturally valid, biblically based. So other religious beliefs, even certain so-called Christian beliefs, will fall under this category where you treat certain things as sacred or holy or good in God's eyes, when actually it's got nothing to do with the Bible. And then there's what I call demonic faith, where it is a belief system that allows demons legitimacy to operate in our lives. It gives demons and the enemy legal access to operate in our lives. By what we believe, we allow the enemy in. And often this takes place when you violate scripture and you are doing things that are clearly forbidden by scripture. And by doing that, you give the enemy, Satan and his demons, legal right into your life. And then there's what we call Bible faith, which is belief based on the Word of God. Specifically, our belief system based on what the Bible teaches and also what the Holy Spirit reveals. And also what we learn that is reinforced by biblical truth. That's what we call Bible faith. And within Bible faith, there are different types. There is what we call saving faith. In other words, the faith or the belief that enabled us to get born again. Then there is what we call the fruit of faith, which is the characteristic of the Holy Spirit through our personality that allows us to be dependable, to be loyal, to be faithful. Is the fruit of faith. And then there is what we call the gift of faith, which is the supernatural anointing of faith, whereby when the Holy Spirit anoints you, he supernaturally empties you of doubt, where it is impossible to doubt, and by that you see the supernatural power of God being released. And then there is what we call working faith, where it is the faith that you receive after you're born again to use in the kingdom of God and to cause the things that are in God's kingdom to be appropriated in your life. And so when we're talking about faith, and your faith must be specific, we're specifically talking about working faith, the faith that you have been given by God. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace that is given to me, that to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to the faith that God has given to every man." I've kind of paraphrased it, but the point there is that God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's what he says, dealt to each one a measure of faith. Hallelujah. And so I now begin to teach on my subject. So you can now do the time. Hallelujah. So we must learn, when it comes to our faith, we must learn to be specific about whatever we are believing God for, whatever we are desiring or believing God for. We must learn to be very specific about what we are believing for and about what we desire. You'll be surprised if you examine yourself and examine your pursuits and examine your desires. You may get a shock about some of the things you believe. Some of the things you believe about your life, about your future, about your present. And a lot of it is because of what you have accepted as fact or as your reality or as truth because of how the society we are in programs us to believe. And so, when we are talking about faith must be specific, for our purposes, we are focusing specifically about using our faith regarding God's kingdom in a kingdom-oriented manner and in the sense of God's righteousness. In other words, things that God approves of. So we're not simply talking about faith whereby we are using our ability to believe to desire things that feed our natural carnal desires. No. That causes our flesh to get inflated. No. That is reinforcing things that are actually destructive. No. We are talking about using faith within the context of seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, God's kingdom is first priority, and our pursuit of it is first priority. The Amplified Version of Matthew 6:33 says this, "But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness." But first and most importantly, so whatever it is that you've given yourself to, make sure that first and most importantly, you are seeking, aiming at, striving after. In other words, there is effort involved when it comes to his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. That's what his righteousness is, the attitude and the character of God. And all these things, legitimate desires, will be given to you also. Legitimate desires. So the desire to be married is a legitimate desire. The desire to have children is a legitimate desire. The desire to be able to look after yourself, after your family, so that you are comfortable, is a legitimate desire. The desire to be able to bless others out of your surplus income is a legitimate desire. These are legitimate desires. There are many legitimate desires that are very good, very noble, that we should want, but they should have the proper priority in our lives. They should have the proper priority. They should be subservient to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's so important. It's so important because I have seen many people put the cart before the horse where they desire these legitimate things at the expense of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And initially, when you do that, you have short-term gain. But long-term wise, you'll feel it. Now, once we identify as a truth in God's word or a desire that is a legitimate kingdom-oriented desire, once we identify that, we need to, and it is something that we want to see in our lives, we need to develop our faith in that area. And as we develop our faith and our faith matures, the sky becomes the limit regarding what is possible in that specific area. Seriously, once your faith is mature in an area whereby it operates the way faith is supposed to operate, the sky becomes the limit in that area. The problem for all of us, including myself, is we have not learned to be focused. Focused in an area. And I want to challenge you. Focus on one major area that you want to see a breakthrough in the power of God, the kingdom of God in your life. I'll give you an example. I remember many, many years ago when I started learning about biblical economics. Now, to be honest with you, everybody wants more money. Who doesn't want more money? Wow, nobody here wants more money. Well, Lord, I want more money. Yeah. Who doesn't want more money? Who wants more money? I was tricking you. A bit of morphine is going on there. So many years ago, I thought, I want to experiment. Now, we all want more money, but the truth of the matter is, I'm not really that focused when it comes to finance. Most of my life, I haven't really been bothered about money per se or interested per se. But I wanted to do an experiment concerning the kingdom because that's not the area of burden on my heart. Now, there are those that God has called into finance and to be entrepreneurs and business people and to make create wealth and all of that. How many of you kind of people are here, the wealth creators? You believe God has called you to create wealth. I'm not talking about make money so that you pay your bills. I'm talking about wealth. I mean money. Heavy duty. Where your tithe, when you tithe, we feel it. I want to see your hands. All of you, really? Seriously, are you being serious? Right, so for instance, so when I did this experiment, in those days, this is about 20-something years ago, I said, I want £5,000 this year. For me, at that time, it seemed like a lot of money. So I used the principles that I know to sow, to harvest £5,000. I wanted cash, £5,000. And I did. I exercised the favor. I did what it teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I sowed the seed. I put the seed down. I won £5,000. And I sold, I don't know, maybe £50 or something like that. £5,000. Sold. Hallelujah. Then within a few months into the year, I got £500. Boom, came back. We are talking. So I sold again. £5,000. And by the latter part of the year, I got, boom, one hit, 4,600 and something coming to my account. And I said, Joseph, you should have believed for 500,000. But that was where my faith was at. Now, since then, I have learned how to believe God for more money when I need more money. I know how to operate that principle. But I haven't learned how to operate where I don't need £1,000,000, but I get it. I'm working on that realm whereby even if I don't need 10 million, I can access it in the kingdom and pull it. For you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The point I'm making is this. For those of you, for instance, in that area, if you learn to operate your faith in that area over time, you will see results that your natural effort could never produce in your business and in your endeavors. If you operate through the lens of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, over time, you will see amazing results. But the problem with a lot of the so-called wealth creators is that they worship the wealth creation. Say minus me in Jesus' name. Right? And they allow that to blind them to their legitimate pursuits in the kingdom. Yeah. So, when you develop your faith in a specific area, in God's kingdom, and it matures. Once your faith matures, the sky is the limit. Like he said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible. In other words, your possibilities are determined by your believing capacity. So whatever you can believe within the context of faith will become your reality. And whatever you believe also is what you will be limited to. So we are limited by what we believe. And our potential is also determined by what we believe. So your believing capacity determines your reality. In any area of life, you can be the most beautiful woman, but if you believe that there is no man out there for you, I guarantee you, there will be no man out there for you. And the next person who is nowhere near your level will have hundreds of men wanting to marry her, and she will choose the one that you are envious for. It's like that. I'm telling you. If you can believe all things are possible. What you believe determines your reality. So we must learn to develop our faith in specific areas that really are our desire, our true and strong desire. Whatever area, it could be finance, it could be prosperity, it could be divine health, it could be deliverance, it could be evangelism, it could be in church planting, it could be in business, it could be in teaching, it could be in any area, it could be in marriage, in any area, as long as it's a kingdom-oriented area. In other words, it's an area that God's word encourages us in to pursue and to live out. If we focus on that area, over time, our faith, once our faith matures in that area, it's amazing. Because it's of the kingdom, its potential becomes great. Why? Because Mark chapter 4, verses 32 teaches us that anything that is kingdom starts small but becomes great. He said, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. The kingdom is like that. So anything that is kingdom-oriented will always start small. It will always start weak. As we go to teach in the kingdom, I'm believing God will allow me to teach into the parables of our Lord, because they illustrate and demonstrate what the kingdom is like on so many levels. And in any area that's a kingdom area, this is how it is. It starts small. It starts insignificantly. And let me just say it like this. Anything God wants you to do is kingdom. Anything God wants you to do is kingdom. Anything God wants you to have is kingdom. Therefore, when you begin it, it will always start in weakness. It will always be seemingly insignificant. But if you allow the kingdom of God to influence you and you allow yourself to cooperate with God in that area, over time, it becomes a massive tree. I don't have that much time left. Change it. You should have been listening. You on the internet, listen carefully. So, why am I saying this? Because your faith, once it matures, can become your servant. It can serve you as a servant. Your faith can serve you like a servant serves their master. That's what our Lord taught us. Whatever truth, whatever ministry, whatever gift anyone possesses, if it's of the kingdom of God, it will require faith for it to be activated, because everything that is in God's kingdom is appropriated by faith. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. In God's kingdom, the just live by faith. So anything that is God's kingdom needs faith. Anything. There is no such thing as, this is not an issue of faith. If it's God's kingdom, there's no such thing like that. That's why faith is so important. That's why he tells us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him in any area. Whether it's faith in parenting, you can't please God. Whether it's parenting, you can't please God without doing parenting in faith. Whether it's faith in your marriage, you can't do marriage and please God in your marriage without faith. Yeah. In any area, whether it's health, whether it's dealing with challenges, whether it's addressing your own failures, you cannot please God in your failure without faith. How do you please God in your failure? By running to the throne of grace with confidence and saying, Father, I've done it again. Here am I. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your mercies. Give me strength to prevail in this area. You keep doing that over time, you will prevail. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All right. So let me just touch on this thing about how your faith can serve you as a servant. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17 from verses 5 to 10. And we'll look at this very briefly. He says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, what's it with the mustard seed? Simply put, once your faith is mature, it's fully developed. It doesn't matter how big it is. The size of it is not the issue. It's that it's matured. So the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds, but once it's because it's a seed, and it's a fully matured, developed seed, if you plant it, it becomes a massive tree. All right. He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, I want to highlight just a few things out of this verse. It's very powerful. First thing is, the desire for an increase of faith must be based on a recognized kingdom need. Verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why did they ask him that? Because the previous verses, he had highlighted the importance of dealing with offense correctly and how they were supposed to deal with offense. So when they heard, how do you deal with offense? When somebody hurts you, when somebody offends you, when they heard how they were supposed to deal with it, not how they thought they should deal with it, when they heard it, they thought, hey, then increase our faith. Because how is this possible? 70 times 7, you forgive. In one day, in other versions, in one day, 70 times 7, 490 times, you do the same thing to me. Not even 490 different things. The same thing. 490 times in one day, I'm supposed to forgive you every time you come and say, I'm sorry. Calculate how much time and energy is involved in when somebody sins against you and they rectify. I don't think somebody can sin against you 490 times in one day. The same issue. One issue, you know. One issue. So when they heard that, they said, increase our faith. Because they recognize this is beyond natural human propensity. In the kingdom, and as New Testament believers, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why our marriages are blessed. Because we do marriage by faith. Because if you did marriage in the natural, what do you mean? Who are you talking to? Aisha, can you just cook? I'm hungry. I need some food. Am I your slave? What do you mean? This is equal. This is the, in fact, my name is not Buedu. I'm Aisha Sutherland. And you are Joseph Buedu. There's no such thing as taking on a man's name. Who's a man? But in the kingdom, you are Aisha Buedu. And hallelujah. According to the Bible, you're supposed to call me Lord. And I'm supposed to treat you like you are a queen. Oh, hallelujah. That one is easy. The other one, calling me Lord, is hard. The point I'm making is this. Whatever the issue is, you must recognize it as a kingdom need. It must be a kingdom need. It must be something that is through the lens of God's kingdom. Second point about faith is this. Our faith, once it matures, is able to address difficult and impossible challenges supernaturally. Once it's mature, it's able to address difficult and impossible challenges supernaturally. You see, the journey that God has for your life demands the supernatural. Yeah, because there are all kinds of forces that do not want you to come to your prominence. So you have to learn to access the superior power the name above all names, and allow it to come into the context whereby every name, every power, every dominion bows the knee to Jesus as you operate the kingdom. That is why you don't allow what you see to determine what you do, but rather you allow what you know by the Spirit to determine what you do. It's so important. So, he says in this verse, verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be put up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will be obey you. First of all, mulberry trees are trees, the roots go very deep, very deep, very deep. So to uproot it is a very difficult task, naturally speaking. And to say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted, that's a supernatural act. Even in the natural, if you're trying to uproot a mulberry tree properly so that it is not damaged, is a very difficult thing. But then, so it is possible to do that in the natural, to uproot it, even though it's difficult, but to say it for it to happen, that's supernatural. But then, for it to be planted in the sea, whereby it then is able to grow and develop, that's impossible. Because the sea is not the natural habitat for mulberry trees. But your faith, once it's mature, it can cause a mulberry tree to live in the sea and develop. That's how powerful your faith can become. Wow. And then the third point here is this. Our faith is supposed to function as a servant that serves us once it matures. In other words, once your faith is mature, it is supposed to serve you and help you concerning the things of the kingdom because you are a servant of the kingdom. So this illustration it gives about a servant plowing the field and so forth is to demonstrate what your faith can do or what you as a child of God is supposed to be able to do with your faith. And then not think that you are something superior. So the fourth point is this. Exercising faith the way we are teaching it is expected of those who have learned to serve the Lord as a servant. If you have learned to serve the Lord, you're a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God, for sure. You're born again, you're a new creation, for sure. But if you have learned to also become a love slave, a doulos, a love slave of the Lord Jesus, whereby you serve him as a slave, then one of the basic expectations on your life is that you operate this kind of level of faith. Can you say amen? For me, I don't know about you, but I think that's very powerful. I think it's very exciting. And then when we do this, we are not supposed to see ourselves as superior to anyone. We are unprofitable servants. We've done what is expected of us. Look, every believer or servant of the Lord is expected to demonstrate supernatural signs because of their faith or because of their ability to believe. How do I know this? Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. These signs shall follow who? The believing ones, one version says. Those who believe. The believing ones. These signs. Five supernatural signs. In my name they shall cast out demons, speak in new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These are the supernatural signs that follows believing ones. It's not a big deal for a believer whose faith is developed to operate supernaturally and to live their life and to negotiate their life supernaturally. It's not a big deal. It's just that very few of us have allowed ourselves to be believing ones. Rather, we allow ourselves to be debating ones, or arguing ones, or opinionated ones, or confused ones, or depressed ones, or foolish ones. Say minus me. Yeah. Now, the other thing I want to say about faith is this. Your faith, if it's going to be specific, must be intentional. In other words, you decide to live by faith not seasonal. This is my faith season. So in my faith season, I believe God. And now we're coming out of the faith season. Hey, don't trouble me. Because we're out of the faith season. No. According to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I've got 15 minutes left and then I'm done. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes. For everyone who what? The gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes. In other words, it's not the power of God for those who don't believe. Here's a shocker. You can be saved, but not believe. Now, you got born again by believing, but then after you're born again, you choose not to believe so many things. It is the power of God. So, there are many Christians that the gospel is not the power of God to salvation. Salvation is not just escaping hell. It's wholeness. Zozo. Wholeness. S-O-Z-O. The Greek word. It's wholeness in every area of life. The gospel is the dunamis, the miraculous power of God in every area of life to those who believe or those who walk in faith. You see, and he says, for in it, in the gospel, oh hallelujah, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. From the righteousness of God, in other words, the things that God approves of is revealed from believing to believing. So as you believe, you grow in believing. And you believe more. And as you believe more, you grow in believing. And you believe more. And it's a believing journey. Why? Because the just live by faith. That's the paradigm they operate out of. Believing. Believing what? The word of God. Believing what? What God's word says. Whether it's instructing how we live or what we do. That's how they live their life. And that's why they see the power of God, the miracle power of God from faith to faith. Whether they're a student, they'll see the miracle power. Whether they're a homemaker, they'll see a miracle power. Whether they are an accountant, whether they are looking for a job, they'll see the miracle power. Whether they're in prison, they'll see the miracle power. Because they live by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Believe God. I want to say this to you. Believe God and see him honor your faith. God promises to honor those who look to him. And he promises to answer those who call on him. Now, there are certain things we look to God for and we call on him. But there are other things we do because we look to him and call him. Let me give you an example. Mark 11, 22, 23. And Jesus answers and said, have faith in God. 23, for truly I say, or verily I say, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Here's the point. It is rooted in trusting God. Have faith in God. So when you have faith in God, you know that what you say and what you believe, when they agree, they become your reality. So you learn to believe his word and speak his word in every given context of your life. Yeah, you learn to believe his word. What does he say about my future? In the scriptures. First, you locate what he says about your future, not by prophetic words. No, no, no. First and foremost, by what is written in the scriptures. The apostles could locate themselves in scripture. I like to locate myself in scripture. I'm new creation reality. Therefore, whatever is written about Christ is my reality. I'm not talking about him as God. Talking about him as man, as the head of the church. I'm an extension of him because I'm part of his body.
So whatever is his, is spoken about him, is ours to walk in. So when I see in the scripture something that applies to my life now, or my children, or my posterity, or what I would like to see, then I believe it and I decree it. That's why it's impossible for any of my children to go to hell. Because before they were even conceived, there was an embargo placed on those coming out of these loins that they cannot come unless they are born again and they go with me into eternity. It's impossible. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. You need to find what the scriptures say about you as a child of God. That's why I know that wealth and riches are in my house. That's why I don't have to worry about money. Wealth and riches. Why? Because Psalm 112, I think, tells me what I'm like. My righteousness endures forever. The things that I do will last forever. According to the scripture, locate yourself in the word. I said, locate yourself in the word. Because God wants to honor your faith. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me. You must learn to call to me, says the Lord. You must learn to call to me. Yeah. And I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. There are many of you, there are great and mighty things waiting for you this year, as a new beginning for you this year, for you to enter into this year, for you to begin this year, that will mark you for the rest of your life, because that's what God has decreed over you this year. Exercise your faith. Use your faith. Identify what is written in scripture. Let me tell you, the most important truths you need to learn is what the scriptures say about you as a child of God. They are the most important truths, new creation realities. And you need to imbue them and be able to quote them. Listen, the scripture says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What? I am not a sinner anymore. And to call myself a sinner is an insult to the cross. I am a sinner saved by grace, no longer a sinner, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, according to scripture. And so when you speak these things over your life, over time, your mind changes and you start to see it and you start to operate in it. Oh, hallelujah. Believe God. He said in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So we've said to him, show us how to search for you with all our hearts. Show us what that looks like. This is our prayer, because we want encounters with you in this time, not in eternity. As for eternity, there are no boundaries. But now I want heaven to break into my reality. Yes. Your faith must be specific. So what areas or area this year, above every other area, do you want to break through in? Do you want to break through in? Then focus your faith in that area. And I want to close with this, because I don't have time, I can't go for everything. I want to close with this. How you can allow your faith to grow in a specific area. There's so many things we could say, but that's for another time. How you focus on building your faith in a specific area. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, as Paul taught the Galatian church, that we receive the Spirit and miracles through the hearing of faith, even so it is with you and I in any area. Whatever area you want to see a breakthrough in, as you hear words of faith in that area, your faith will grow, because faith comes not by praying for more faith. Now, as a start, you can ask God to help you in your faith, and then the Spirit will begin to guide you. But the faith itself grows by hearing. That word hearing in the Greek is hearing to the point of understanding. And the ability to hear, hearing, comes from the Word of God. So for you to understand and to have faith that understands, you have to be hearing the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will open your mind to be able to know what to believe. To know what to believe and what to reject. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. I want to quickly give you a few guidelines. How you focus on building your faith practically. Number one, very simple. Listen to resources that inform, strengthen, and equip you in the area you desire to develop in. Now, I think I've given these guidelines in the notes, so you can look at your notes that's been handed out to the members. Listen to resources that inform, strengthen, and equip you in the area you desire to develop in. Secondly, memorize and meditate on scriptures that reinforce new creation realities. In other words, what it means to be a Christian. Meditate and memorize scriptures that reinforce new creation realities and helps you to focus on the area you want to break through in. Number three, study the area you want to break through in. Study it through reading, through going on courses, and through other channels of learning. Again, whether it's videos or audio or sitting some kind of mentoring context. But study that area. Study it. Fourth thing, understudy those who operate in that area of focus. Understudy. You see this principle in scripture. For Elisha to have a double portion of the miracle power, he had to serve Elijah for at least 10 years. For Timothy to become that great apostle that was eventually martyred, he had to understudy Paul. And throughout the scriptures, you see this principle. Understudying those who are ahead of you in an area. Five, and that's why mentoring is so important. That's why for me, I've changed my mentoring system this year from now onwards. I know I want to mentor as many people as possible, but I can only mentor a few. And soon I'm going to make it available. Please, 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 what I'm about to say, I don't want to lose half the church. Please. But I believe that the Spirit wants me to mentor as many men as possible. Not because the women are not important. You women, without you, we will not have a church. You are so important. But honestly, you want your men to be men. You understand? And it takes a man to train a man. And so, forgive me that I'm not mentoring women as well in this season. Or any other season, unless the Spirit says otherwise. Now, I know I mentioned one or two women and so forth. I'm not touching that. But my point I'm making is that I'm going to open up mentoring to all the men in the Granite Church who want it. But there is a criteria. And so when you look at the criteria, it will scare you. And then you say, in Jesus' name, not yet. So it is those that the Spirit is calling that will respond. Not everybody. And brothers, if it's not for you, it's not a big deal. You're not an inferior believer. It's not a big deal. But I'm sorting out. I mentor a lot of men at the moment. And so I'm sorting that out. Once I sort out those who want to be in this mentoring program, then I will, if there is space, I will then offer it to all the men in the Granite Church and in the Croydon Church. And those who want it, they can have it, and those who don't, they don't have to worry themselves. But the reason why I'm doing this is because I recognize the importance of understudying someone. And I think by the grace of God, we have a little bit of experience. Oh, hallelujah. Fifth point, quickly, we're nearly done. persistently pray into the area of focus, asking the Holy Spirit for increased grace in that area. Let me tell you, as simple as this sounds, it is one of my most important keys I operate, where I will persistently ask the Lord for something until it manifests. Now, there are ways in which you are persistent. So I'll say, Lord, I need, like for wisdom, for instance, I have been asking for wisdom since my 20s. Since my early 20s, I've been asking for wisdom. Sometimes every day, most of the time when I am in conversation with people. And so over time, within the grace of God, it's become a signature feature of my ministry. Why? Not because I'm very wise, but because I keep asking. Because I know how stupid I am without it. Yeah. Sixth point, periodic fasting in that area of focus is important. Why? Because it will increase your capacity to receive more grace in that area. As you fast, I don't know how it works that way, your spirit expands in its capacity and you're able to receive more. And last but not least, speak life over yourself in the area of focus on a regular basis. Speak life. So if, for instance, you want to operate in healing, speak to yourself, I'm a healing minister. I have the healing gifts operating. I see cripples walking. I see blind eyes open. Speak to yourself. Oh, hallelujah. So, beloved, your faith must be specific. I want to pray over you at this time, and then I'll hand back to Edmund. I want to pray over you a simple prayer in this area, that God will give you grace this year to focus on a specific area. God will give you grace. If that is you, and it's clear in your mind, the area of focus, stand. And as you stand, lift up your two hands. Those of you listening online, respond as best as you can. Lift up your two hands and tell the Lord what that area of focus is. And ask him for grace in that area. And then I'm going to pray a simple prayer in agreement with you. Just talk to him briefly right now. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Father, for grace that you give to us. Thank you, Holy Father, for grace that you give to us. Lord, in these areas of focus, maybe some of you have more than one specific area. Just voice it out to him. Tell him those areas for you is not enough. It's not just one. Maybe it's two, it's three. Just tell him. It doesn't matter. You tell him what your faith allows you to tell him. But these are burdens on your heart. Thank you, Holy Father. Le Cristo, fere banda. Those of you online, do the same, please. Please agree with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I ask for grace upon these precious ones. Lord, as they respond to you, I ask you give them grace to begin to focus their faith in the area of burden you've placed on their heart. Lord, give them the wisdom, the zeal, the desire to press in the area. I pray for the spirit of diligence to come upon them, that they will not be lazy as they pursue this area of grace. Let their faith develop. Send the right people, the right resource, the right opportunities their way. And through it, let the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified. And let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. You may take your seats. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. That was a...